The Bible, God's Inspired Word. Ellen G. White. Divine Power in the Word. There is divine power in the revelation of God, but God works in His own way. He does not design that man shall be overpowered by a light and divinity that would compel belief. Paul was taken to the third heaven, and he heard things which it was not lawful for human lips to utter. Could men have understood the language of heavenly mysteries had it been spoken through Paul? No. Therefore, these things were to be left unsaid. But the things he saw and heard were fixed in Paul's memory, as if graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. They were woven into his entire experience and were an inspiration to him, giving him power in his work for God. Christ, the Living Word. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he took humanity upon him, was not for this reason less perfect. He came in this lowly garb that humanity might reach humanity. He hungered, he thirsted, he was weary and needed rest. He wept tears of sadness. He was in all points tempted like as we are. Yet he was the divine Son of God. The human and the divine were blended, and those who humbly seek God through him will be made partakers of the divine nature. Some recognized Christ as the Son of God and received his words. They opened their hearts to him, and he entered in and abode with them, and they were filled with courage, hope, and joy. But there were some who grieved him by their unbelief and hardness of heart. These he faithfully warned and rebuked. He said unto them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." Some would say, "He is excited, harsh, severe." But was he? Was it not necessary to rebuke and condemn those who, while they entered not in themselves, shut up the kingdom of heaven against men? The sword of the Spirit. Paul says of the written word that it also is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It convinces the reason, strikes directly home to the conscience, and works effectually in the heart that is not barricaded against the truth. For it is the Word of God, of whom it is said, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." A preparation necessary. The soil of the heart must be mellowed and prepared for the sowing of the gospel seed. The apostle says of Israel, "The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." The most precious truth may be presented in the demonstration and power of the Spirit, but if it is resisted instead of being cherished, it will only harden the heart, and every ray of light will go out in darkness. The Lord has warnings and reproofs for his people, that they may not, by their unbelief, imperil their own souls or the souls of others. But the natural heart is not inclined to yield to these warnings, because self struggles for the mastery. There is an inclination to pick flaws. This is done carefully at first, the doubter not daring to reject. But if he continues in this course, he will at length handle sacred things as he would the common, and the word of God to him in counsel and reproof is made void. The word cannot do its office work in the unbelieving heart. The word accepted. Some there are who accept the word of God with its reproofs and corrections. They receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in them that believe, and they rejoice in the light, and yield in their lives the peaceable fruits of righteousness. To these God gives abundant blessings, and his treasures of truth, of light, and of grace are placed in earthen vessels, not to remain there stagnant, but to be poured out to the world in all their richness and heavenly fragrance. Those who are in positions of trust hold in their hands the most sacred talents to be used in the interests of the people of God. These are heavenly endowments, to be retained only as they are used in speech and by pen, God diffusing to them as they constantly diffuse to others. Search the Scriptures. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What necessity is there for men and women who profess godliness to understand the Holy Scriptures? It is by this means that they are nurtured in sound doctrine and become rooted and grounded in the truth, established in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But the traditions and customs of men must not be mingled with the sacred truths of revelation. To those who were doing this, Christ said, "Full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own traditions." And this is as true now as it was when Christ was on earth and was rejected and crucified. Search the Scriptures. Study, pray, and believe. Take up the Bible without prejudice and in a humble, teachable spirit, and with the understanding open to the impressions of the Spirit of God, let its convincing power mold the life and conscience. Today, the voice from Calvary is speaking in tones of mercy to every soul. May all see that their only hope is to hear, to receive, and to rejoice in the truth, which is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe.